In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Tech and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 207. This is what it looks like if you're watching on YouTube. This is what the hair looks like with no product. I just got off the air with my regular morning radio show, John Senecal here. We wanted to do something today really quickly. We will do something post the trading deadline late in the week. Coming off, the Red Sox finally made it through their, you know, their three series opener to the second half, where they had three basically first place teams, and they went through that. But what we really want to get to is Aaron Judge's injury, because John is apoplectic because the Yankees season is right on the edge of imploding.
As if it couldn't get any worse, right, Brian? As if it couldn't get any worse.
What do you think? I mean, are you hair on fire? I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, you can't be Doomsday Debbie, right? But if I remember correctly, Brian, I remember sending a certain text to our group text saying something about, oh, no, something's wrong with Aaron Judge on a play in Toronto. Right. And next thing you know, he's going on the IL with a flexor tendon strain. Now, crisis averted, so they say. It's not a UCL tear, which would mean obviously the same thing Garrett Cole had, which would mean replace that tendon, right? Yep. Ligament. So right now he's going on the IL for 10 days, and they're saying when and if he comes back, they're being very positive, right? They're saying when he comes back, he will be a DH, right? So first, two things real quick, before I get your reaction to it. If he comes back after 10 days, right? I mean, this could be, who knows? A flexor tendon strain could be 10 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. You don't know how he's going to react. As of right now, he says it's not bothering him when he swings. So that is a positive, right? Now, when he comes back, if he's DH, you know what happens, Brian. What happens? Your favorite player on the Yankees becomes an issue, right?
Who's
Giancarlo. Yep. Exactly. Right? So he has to learn how to play the outfield now. How do you think that's going to go, Brian?
Well, I mean, can you hide him in right? I mean, what do you do?
So now you're going to be hiding your corner outfielders. You're going to be hiding your corner outfielders is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Brian.
That's what you did in Little League, right? I mean.
Here's the conundrum, right? The conundrum is Jason Dominguez, right? Can't play the outfield, right? Going to have to play. Or Trent Grisham's not going to play, because sure as heck, Cody Bellinger is going to be playing one of the three outfield positions, and Stanton has to be in the lineup.
Right. But here's the scenario, in my opinion, even though they I believe they won on Sunday, we're recording on Monday. Say he's out for 2 weeks. That's 10 games. I mean, we don't know how long it's going
to
be.
It's retroactive to July 26th, which puts him back August 4th or 5th.
Right, but let's just assume let's assume he comes back August 10th, right? Let's just assume, do you think that's fair?
An extra 5 days, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So say say he misses 10 games, and say they go 3-7, and say they're 8 back in the East, and they're tied for the second wild card spot. In that scenario, how do you view the season then? I mean, or put it to you this way, actually a more appropriate question is,
he can miss 12 games if he comes back the 10th.
Okay, so he misses 12 games. Say they go 4-8.
Yeah, doomsday. You're done. Especially the way play teams are playing. It's just not going to happen.
So you would say that you'd be in the first week in August and you'd say they're done, that they'd be done.
I mean, if he comes back 100%, which you know is definitely not happening, right? There's not a possible chance he'll be 100%. So I would say yes, if you're out, I mean, it really depends on how many games you're out, but right now you're 5.5 out of the actual AL East and you're clinging to a lead in the wild card. And what you're saying is basically you're doing nothing over the next 12 games, right? So.
Right. So this leads me to my second question is, does this change the calculus for the trade deadline for Brian Cashman?
Well, I think it's interesting you say that, Brian, because when you talk about the trading deadline, the Yankees knew about this injury, obviously, on Monday of last week, right? And if you knew about the injury on Monday of last week and you didn't trade for Yuniel Suarez, who is still out there and had more home runs, you went with Ryan McMahon, you got to be wondering what the thinking was, right? So they knew something was cooking with Judge and you didn't go for a big, big bat to make up for the home run. So, right. I mean, I understand the Yankees play with McMahon because he's got control, but interesting, very interesting to see and how they go forward. I don't see the Yankees doing much more with the hitting department after picking up Rosario, who was a very versatile player. And obviously McMahon basically won the game for him on Sunday against the Phillies. So I would see more. The Yankees need to shore up that bullpen and look for another arm. And Luis Hill is going to be doing a AAA start too. So he's got him coming back. Right. So I don't really think it trades the deadline. No, I don't think it changes it much. I think the Yankees are looking for arms right now. But unless they get overwhelmed with like an O'Neill Cruz, some blockbuster deal or something. But where do you put him?
Yeah. So basically, do you think there's so many little like tangential questions. Do you think the Yankees can play 500 ball without him?
Well, you know, they talked to Aaron Judge and about his, you know, after he found out about his injury, and he said, this is the time where everyone's got to step up. And he didn't say it like, I'm the only player. He basically said it like, you know, we've been through adversity before. The team is down right now. And that's what kind of scares me, Brian. They're in such a funk right now. And this is just such another obstacle. This could be the charge that they need to change everything. Or it could just be like the abyss, submarine.
Well, because like if the retroactive works, I mean, they have Tampa who is really struggling. Then they have the Miami Marlins who are not good. And if he could come back before Texas is the hottest team in baseball, I think, right now. And they go to Houston, and Houston's always they're home against Houston, who are always tough to play. So if you're going to be out for a week and a half or so, now's a decent time to do it. But you want him back for Texas because they're sneaking up on the wild card. I mean, Texas is right there now. All of a sudden, we thought they were going to be sellers at the deadline, and I don't think that's the case anymore because I think that they're a playoff potential team. So I think that they have a chance to do better than expected. It's good that they don't have Toronto and Philly going into this, although that didn't matter since they lost 4-6 anyway. But
honestly, Brian, I don't think it's so much the next 12 days, like withstanding it without Judge. I think it's more of, can Judge come back when they say he's going to come back? And I don't think it'll be 10 days. I think it'll be a little bit longer than that. I think it's more of what happens when he comes back, assuming he comes back, because I think it's a way bigger issue.
Right. Because it'll take him a while. You don't know how healthy he actually is when he comes back.
And then Stanton.
And then obviously, but also you got to get back into a hitting rhythm. Really hard to just come right back in and get into it.
And let's be honest, he is not going to play the outfield again this year. The Yankees would be out of their collective minds if they try to put him back into throwing from right field. They'd be out of their minds.
Right. Just because an injury could happen at any time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Right. There's absolutely – you could get all the – long toss you want and be thinking great thoughts. It's not happening. And they're not going to, outfield.
That also brings up another thing in my head because Judge, more than most of these big hitters, he's a baseball player. Like, I think he likes to play all facets of the game.
Absolutely.
So I wonder what the impact will be if he's sitting around 80% of the game.
I don't think it'll be that big of a deal as far as, because I think he'll know his role. He's going to be an Ohtani without the pitching. He's just going to turn into that. He's going to be in there every single day, and that's what he'll be. But Judge, I'm not worried about him mentally at all.
Right. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. So Judge could be back as early as, you know, the 4th or 5th or whatever of August, but it could be longer. The Red Sox beating the Dodgers. If you listen to episode 206, I said they had to win this series, and they did. It was nail biter, white knuckle, but they did it. They won the second two games of the series, and they end up this Chicago, Philadelphia, LA sort of gauntlet at 4-5 and still in the mix. And so to me, that sets us up. Regardless of what happens in Minnesota, they have to be buyers. We talked with Andy Gresh, who's covered Boston sports forever, on my morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080. And he said the Red Sox are going to be Red Sox type buyers. They're not going to overpay. And if they need a starting pitcher, they'll get a starting pitcher, not the best starting pitcher. Right. And I think the consensus now is that this trade market is thin and that it might not be smart to super overpay for players when they're not that good anyway. And then now it seems like Minnesota is going to have too big an ask for Ryan. So I don't know what is out there, but I still hold it. If they don't make the fan feel like they're going after it, I think it's going to feel crappy. And I think it'll translate to the locker room. Like, I don't know if it was last year or the year before when the team was on the cusp and the trade deadline didn't just disappoint fans. It disappointed the players in the clubhouse, and it had a direct impact on how they played. Like, even though it would have cost a couple jobs, the team was kind of pissed. And I wonder if that's the case this time. There have been rumors that people have been asking about Jaren Duran. So far, they've said no. I guess the rumor deal with Dylan Cease in San Diego was nixed because of that. But they got to do something, and there's no reason not to. I mean, they're a game behind the Yankees. I mean, that's crazy.
It is crazy, but I mean, the Red Sox have been playing this way all season. They really haven't done up, down. They've been just kind of staying pat. And I think the big issue for them is, with the Marcel Mayer injury, that changed everything, because now Jaren Duran becomes a way more important piece. He is playing better as of lately. So I don't think that trade chip sits out there anymore, because now you got Rafaela playing in the infield. So
yeah,
if Christian Campbell, was doing what he needed to do, I don't really know what his AAA numbers are, because I don't follow it close enough. But obviously, he would be up if he was doing good enough, right? So I think the Marcelo Meyer injury really changes things, because Roman Anthony has been playing very well from what I've been kind of seeing off and on. So yeah, I don't think there's going to be much as far as, because the Jaren Duran would be the guy you could get a lot for, right? So I think you're right, Brian. I think it's going to be mediocre trading deadline. But that being said, the way the Red Sox are playing, it might just be the mid-tier arm that they need, or another bullpen piece that they need, or a first baseman, So
listen, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I did want to point out before we left that your oldest son, Jackson, is going to be a sophomore in college, plays club baseball at Fairfield U. By the way, Fairfield's regular baseball team all of a sudden is really good.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but still loves baseball, and he's playing American Legion. And we were talking off mic about how I remember American Legion in the town I grew up in. I grew up in a huge baseball town of Swampscott, Massachusetts. And there were a bunch of kids who were trying to play college ball or trying to make a run in pro ball or whatever, and they ended up playing Legion ball, which is kind of cool because you can graduate and still play another year. So you're playing with like the best high school players, and there's older kids. The baseball is good. And your son is still playing.
Yeah. He's still playing. I think unfortunately, and this is a testament to the major leaguers and how much their body goes through. He played so much baseball in the last couple of years. He's been dealing with a wrist injury, but he does play all the time. The team won 3 straight games in the state tournament, and they actually lost yesterday. So they're in the loser's bracket now. But yeah, but they, like you said, Brian, the games are good. People come out and watch this stuff. Like it's not Cape Cod League baseball, but it is players that are very talented still, and that they are playing their last kind of town competitive thing. But this is like no joke. Like if you keep winning, you go to a national championship in North Carolina, and you win a state championship, you win a regional championship. So it's kind of like the Little League World Series progression. But he had the game winning hit the other night, and he kind of plays all over the place. He's naturally a shortstop and second baseman, but he's been playing outfield. He's been actually played some first base. He's been playing third base. So he's getting a lot more. He gets a lot of playing time. He plays all the time, actually. But
well, I'm curious.
He loves the game.
I'm curious because like in club baseball, they practice a couple times a week. It's not nearly the intensity. Does he look like a better ball player? Like, or does he look like a guy who doesn't practice all the time? Like, I wonder, like as a ball player, what does he look like?
He definitely stays in shape. He'll tell you that he plays more golf than baseball now. He's definitely last summer he was in way better baseball shape, but he also wasn't dealing with injury. He's probably put on a little bit of weight, but he's definitely, you wouldn't look at him and be like, oh, this guy can't play. But that being said, it's not like he was a year ago, definitely not. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, does he ever say like, he's watched Fairfield play, like talk about the difference, the jump from where he is to what they are.
Like, No. The competition is insane. Plus, honestly, Brian, and the way college sports is right now, Division III, you got to be an absolute stud to play at. So even like a smaller school like Fairfield playing D1, how everything stacks now in transfer portals and eligibility, you got to be an absolute stud. And the game is super fast. And if you don't keep playing it at that level, it passes you by so fast. It does. You can't take any time off. I mean, even in this Legion team, I mean, last season going into his freshman year, he was seeing pitchers throwing in the low 90s in summer ball and tournaments. And you don't very seldom see that in Legion ball, upper 80s and stuff, but you can see it. It's tougher for him to catch up to it just because he hasn't played as much and he's a little bit injured, but it's fun to watch. It really is. And, you know, you're playing towns. Like, you know what I mean? You're playing other towns. You're not playing some club team, you know, dad ball where they got a bunch of kids. You're playing the town of AB versus CD or whatever, you know, so it's cool.
Any other thoughts? We're going to reconvene on Friday after the trade deadline and break down what happened, and hopefully we'll be both happy, but I don't know. But any other thoughts on either Hall of Fame or Red Sox Yankees?
I thought the Hall of Fame was really cool. How CC, you know, talked about the women in his life. We've all heard the story about him throwing the grapefruits and everything. But I thought it was really cool how Ichiro took a dig at the Marlins. How he said that he thanked them for signing him to get his 3,000th hit, but when they called, he had no idea who the team was.
Yeah,
I thought that was funny. So, you know, Ichiro, I mean, he say what you want. I mean, he came over, he did what he did in both leagues. He is an icon in U.S. sports. He really is, and an amazing player. And hats off to CC too. Great player.
Yeah, I think CC, I've had a lot of conversations off mic with friends and such. I don't think he's in the traditional way the Hall of Fame has been. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I think the way the modern Hall of Fame is, and he is. But Ichiro is a baseball legend, and I love the fact that he – because I didn't even know, like in the same way that Devers or other – I didn't know how much English he can speak because he didn't speak English to the media very much at all during his career. And I thought he delivered a great speech. I thought his nuances, his timing on his jokes was fantastic. You know, like you mentioned the Marlins joke. He also ripped on the one writer who didn't vote for him. And, you know, I encourage people to listen to it because his timing was really quite excellent. So
I think he's one of those people that can basically do anything, to be honest with you. If you've seen some of the videos he does online, too, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he's a pretty incredible human being. All right, listen, we'll catch up with you on Friday. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.